Welcome to the Voice of Hope with Pastor Andy Clark. I trust you're having a good week walking with the Lord. Here on the Voice of Hope, it's a place of encouragement to encourage you in the Lord. And today I want to send greetings to everyone in Bungoma by radio and people in Bungoma County, people in Western Kenya. I want to send greetings to bishops and pastors, church leaders, church workers, believers, and everybody that lives in Bungoma and Western Kenya. Because I believe God is wanting to do a work in Western Kenya for His glory and for His purposes. And so I pray for you all the time. But my program doesn't only go to Western Kenya. It goes by internet to other countries of the world. And so what I share on this program is not just for Bungoma. It's what God is doing all over the world. Because I believe we live in the last days before the coming of Christ. And before Jesus returns, we're going to have a big end time harvest of souls and a mighty moving of God's Spirit. And we need to prepare because God is coming back for a glorious and victorious church. And so we need to prepare ourselves for the return of Jesus Christ. And so I've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I talked last week about the Holy Spirit who is our helper. If you missed last week's message, you can always go on my website and you can listen to it on my website, voiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org website, and you can listen to all my messages. And so the first thing the Holy Spirit does is it changes us. Today I'm going to talk about how the Holy Spirit can change our community, but first of all, the Holy Spirit must change us. And that begins with a new birth. Jesus said in John chapter 3, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. And so when you're saved, when you confess your sins and accept Jesus Christ your Savior, you become born again. The Spirit of God comes in you, and the Spirit of God lives in you and makes you a new person. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new person. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, the Holy Spirit makes you new, takes away all your sin, and the Holy Spirit comes and lives in you. And first thing He does, He begins to change your life and begins to help you walk the Christian life. So Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Helper. If you look at John chapter 14, 15, and 16, Jesus talks about the Helper, the Holy Spirit. He said, I must go away that I can send the Helper to be with you. And the Helper will be with you forever. He said, the Helper will help us teach us the Word of God. Help us understand the Word of God. The Helper will help us walk out the Christian life. The Helper will testify of Jesus Christ. The Helper will transform us into the image of Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, but we all with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed or changed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Helper, the Holy Spirit, changes us. He says, we with unveiled faces, that means a veil covers your face so people can't see you. But we come to God with unveiled faces. In other words, we come to God open and honest about ourselves. And we don't try to hide our sin. We confess our sin before God and repent of our sin so that God can begin to change us by His Word and by His Holy Spirit. And when we're changed, we don't have to pretend like we're a Christian. Because we're changed, we begin to walk and act like Jesus Christ. So it says, we all with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord is God's character, His nature. And as we behold God, as we look to God and focus on God, not focus on the world. You see, if you focus on the world, you'll be like the world. But you focus on Jesus and focus on God, you become like Jesus Christ. You become like God. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. Transform means to make something totally new. To be transformed into the same image of God from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. So The Holy Spirit helps change us from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ. Changes us so that we're more and more like Jesus Christ. So we have the same character and nature of Jesus Christ. You know, Galatians 5:22-25 says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control." So these are the fruit of the Spirit. So as we look to Jesus, we are changed into the same character and nature of Jesus Christ. And so the Spirit is the one who changes us as we look to Jesus and makes us more like Christ. And so when we're like Christ, we're filled with love for people, love for God. We're filled with joy and peace. Despite what people do to us, we still love them. Even Jesus says, even love your enemies and those who persecute you and speak evil against you. When you're filled with the love of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, see, Jesus loved everyone. He loved people who were sinners. He loved prostitutes. He loved wicked businessmen. He loved them all. And he loved them because he wanted to show forth the love of God, because the love of God draws people to repentance. The Bible says the goodness of God draws people to repentance. And so we need to learn to love people. Jesus was moved with compassion for people, and he reached out to them in the love of God and by the power of God to bring change in their life. So when the Spirit of God lives in us, we're filled with love and joy. We have joy despite what's going on, because our joy does not come from the world. Our joy comes from the Holy Spirit. And we walk in peace. No matter what people are doing, we walk in peace. And so, you know, people say that they manifest the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't manifest. They say they manifest by casting out demons, healing the sick, and other things like that. No, that's the work of the Holy Spirit, which we're going to talk about today. No, when you manifest the Holy Spirit, you manifest the character and nature of the Holy Spirit, which is the same character and nature as Jesus Christ. And that is, you walk in love and joy and peace. You have long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You walk in forgiveness. You forgive people. Because Jesus says, if you don't forgive, you're not forgiven. And he said, before you pray, forgive whoever you have in your heart, or God won't hear your prayer. So the first transformation that God needs to do to change our world is he needs to change us. See, our community won't change until we change. And so we need to begin to allow the Holy Spirit to change us. And as we change, our community changes. And so today I want to talk about community transformation. How does the Holy Spirit change our community? And we want to look in Acts chapter 2, which is the day of Pentecost. It's the day that the Holy Spirit came down and filled the disciples with the power of God. And the Holy Spirit came and enabled them to do the work of God. See, the Holy Spirit, when you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes in you and lives in you, and the Holy Spirit is your helper to help you walk out your Christian life. But in Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and to do the work of God. And so we want to see, when you're filled with the Spirit, what is the evidence of you being filled with the Spirit? How does the Spirit work in our lives? And so the first thing we see in Acts chapter 2 is Peter, who had just denied Jesus 50 days before, when Jesus was being ready to be crucified. Peter denied him 3 times that he even knew Jesus. And now this same Peter, who is now filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up and preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ to a multitude of people. And then when they heard the word, because the word was given by the power of the Holy Spirit, the word convicted them of their sin. And we look in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and the people said, "What must we do to be saved?" The people cried out after Peter, "What must we do to be saved?" And we see here what needs to change for our community to change. And verse 38, Acts 2, 38 says, "Then Peter said to them, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all those afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. So Peter says, you know, the first thing you need to do to be saved, to be changed and transformed, is to repent of your sins. Repent doesn't mean you just confess your sin. Repent means you change. It means a change of direction. You were going one way, but now you're going another way. You were living one way, but now you're living another way. And so repentance is the first thing that we must do to see community transformation. And repentance isn't just when you get saved the first time. Every time that the Holy Spirit of God reveals something that's not right in you, you need to confess that before God, and you need to repent. Say, God, help me change and not do that thing anymore. If you get angry or lie or do something else, you know, say, God, help me, Holy Spirit, to not do that anymore. Repent of that thing. So he said the first key to community transformation is repentance. We all need to come to repentance. We've all done things wrong. We've all offended other people. We've sometimes been a bad example. We need to repent and change. Our community will not change until we change, and change begins with repentance. And then he says, be baptized in water. Now, baptism in water does not save you. Jesus saves you. Putting faith in Jesus saves you. But water baptism is an outward testimony that you've repented and you've given your life totally to Jesus Christ. When you go down in the water, your old person dies when you go in the water, and you come up a new person in Christ Jesus. And so you need to repent, first of all, then you need to baptize in water, and the third thing is you must receive the Holy Spirit. And he said the Holy Spirit's not only for them, but the Holy Spirit's for everybody. He says for your children and your children's children, everybody who's far off. The Holy Spirit's for everyone, because you can't live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. So you repent of your sin, change, you baptize in water to show that you've changed, and then the Holy Spirit helps you walk your Christian life. This must happen to be saved, for our community to change. We need to begin to do that. We as Christians need to give the example. We need to do that first. We need to repent and allow the Holy Spirit to change us. And sometimes if you've wandered away from God and walking in sin, sometimes you even need to be baptized in water a second time to show that you've really changed. So in the early church, this was a sign of the early church. Everyone who came to Christ was repentant of their sins, was baptized in water, and received the Holy Spirit. Then we go on in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, and we see the change that happened in the community. It says in Acts 2:41, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to the church. So Peter said, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Spirit. So when they heard the word, it says that the people gladly received the word. They were baptized, and 3,000 people were baptized that day. What a big baptism that was. 3,000 people repented, were baptized. Well, they were born again. They received the Holy Spirit in their lives. And then it continues on with verse 42. And this is what they did. The 3,000 that were saved, the 3,000 that repented, were baptized, and wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. It says, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers. So we see three more things. The first three things that happen for community transformation: repentance, baptism of water, receiving the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit changes us and changes our community. The next three things that we see that people need to do is, it says they daily, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So every day they received teaching of the word. Not just on Sunday, but every day they received teaching of the word. Now, you don't have to go to church every day, but maybe you can read your Bible every day. Maybe you can get together and share the Bible with other people. Maybe you can go to a Bible study. You know, whatever you need to do, You need to get into the Word of God every day because the Word of God transforms us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind by the Word of God. See, unless the Word of God begins to change our mind, we still think and act like the world. We still talk like the world. So the Holy Spirit is the one that transforms, but He uses the Word of God to transform us. Jesus said, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, He will teach you the Word, and He will help you remember everything that I've told you. And so once you've accepted Christ, repented, and everything, you need to receive the Holy Spirit. You need to get into the Word of God. You need to begin to grow in the Word of God. So the 3,000, they continued in the teachings of the apostles. The second thing, the fellowshipping together. So that people receive the teaching of the Word and they fellowship together. See, Christians need to fellowship together, not just in church, but every day. So they fellowship breaking bread from house to house. And so, because as you Christians begin to fellowship together, you encourage one another in the Lord. See, if I go to church and I hear some good preaching in the church, the pastor shares the Word in church, and then I go to someone's house and I talk about what the pastor preached about. I talk about the Word of God, and we pray for each other and encourage one another in the Lord. And that needs to be happening in our homes every day. We need to be getting with other Christians in our community, on the job, everywhere we are. As we meet other Christians, we need to fellowship together and encourage each other in the Lord. And the third thing they did was prayers. So they received the teaching of the Word every day, they fellowshiped together, and they prayed together. Those are things we need to do. Those are things that help us grow in Christ. Those are things that help transform us and change our community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you continue with Acts 2, verse 43. It says, then fear came upon everyone, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. So fear doesn't mean fear and being afraid of something. It means awe and respect. See, when the church begins to live together in unity, when the church begins to receive the Word of God, when the church begins to fellowship together, when the church begins to pray together, when they repent and allow God to change their life, then people are amazed at the church because they see the transformation. You see, if the people in the church are just like the world, the people are not attracted to the church. But if we're going to change our community, we need to change. And as we change, we change. Then people in the community begin to look at us and they begin to become amazed at the change in our lives. They see Christians walking together, fellowshipping together, not just people from the same church, people from different churches fellowshipping together, pastors from different churches fellowshipping together, bishops from different organizations fellowshipping together. See, as they see that unity, as we fellowship together, study God's Word together, and pray together, the world begin to see the church, and as the church changes, the world will change. We pray for God to change the world because the world is very wicked, but the world does not change until we change. And so they saw it, and then it says, and there were many signs and wonders, miracles happen. See, I believe when we begin to walk in unity together, when we begin to walk in fellowship together, that we begin to see signs and wonders because God honors us by displaying His power, not just through certain people, through everyone. And we begin to see miracles happen every day. See, if you're fellowshipping every day, if you're sharing the Word together every day, if you're praying together every day, then you're going to begin to see miracles happen, not just in church, but every day. See, when you walk into a business and see another believer, no matter what church he goes to, you begin to fellowship together, encourage and pray for each other, pray for his business, and pray if he's sick, pray for, you begin to see God do healings every day. You begin to see God do miracles on the job, miracles done in business. You see, Christian life does not just happen in church. Christian life happens every day. And as Christian life happens every day, Christian life changes the community. I mean, verse 44, Acts 2:44, it says, now all who believe were together and all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as were needed. So now they're not only sharing bread together and fellowshipping together, they're sharing their money together. And they're giving money to other believers, helping other believers out, giving money to the church. Because you see, when you're full of the Spirit of God, you have a spirit of giving. See, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. See, when you love people and are really concerned about people, you want to help them out. Not just your relatives and people in your family, but all people that you come in contact with. All believers. And so you see this unity happening in the church, not just one church, but through churches in the community. See, what it's not just one church changing, it's churches together changing that produce a change in the community. And so they begin to share their goods together, begin to share food together, begin to share other things together. And so we go on to verse 46. And we see the life that happened in the early church in Jerusalem that God wants to do today. This is the result of the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit doesn't bring division and confusion. The Holy Spirit brings unity. The Holy Spirit brings love, joy, and peace. The Holy Spirit brings forgiveness. The Holy Spirit brings unity. And so verse 46 is, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who should be saved. So we see that there was this lifestyle that developed in Jerusalem. 3,000 people were saved and added to the church. Now, these 3,000 people, every day, they would go to the temple and hear Peter and John and the other apostles preach the word of God. And so you can just, I want you to imagine the city of Jerusalem. The city of Jerusalem was maybe about 500,000 people. And every day you got at least 3,000 people going to the temple and gathering together and hearing the word of God, being built up in the word of God. Then they went from house to house, it says, breaking bread from house to house and sharing their food with gladness. And so you see this lifestyle that's happening in the early church, where they not only pray together in church, but where Christian life happens every day in the church. And it says, as a result of that, it says they had favor with the people, favor with all the people in Jerusalem, because of the kind of life that they lived. And it says, the Lord added to the church daily those who would be saved. That wasn't from a crusade. That was from daily that God added to the church. Why? Because people in the world saw a change in the believer. You see, we want the world to change. We pray for the world to change. But the world will not change until we change. We have to be transformed first. See, God is moving. I believe God is moving by his Spirit in his last days. God is preparing for great revival in these last days. God is preparing to do miracles in these last days. God is preparing for a great harvest in these last days. But that begins with us at the church. Salvation begins with the church. Transformation begins with the church. The church is not just a building. It's not just an organization. It is people. It is people who confess that Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. People who have been born again. People who have been transformed. See, I believe God wants to transform our community. God wants to transform our world, but it begins with us. It not only begins with us praying, but it begins with us allowing God to change our life. Not just worshiping in church, but worshiping every day. Not just studying the word in church, but talking about the word every day. Not just acting like Christians in church, but acting like Christians every day. See, the church is not just in the building, the church is in the community. Everywhere you go, you are a child of God. Everywhere you go, you represent Jesus Christ. We all do that in the way that we live and work and move and have our being. See, God wants to bring a transformation to us. God wants to make a transformation in our world. And it happens as we change. And so as we change, as we begin to bear the fruit of the Spirit, you know, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, you'll begin to have a change happen in you. You begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in your life. The Holy Spirit will begin to teach you the Word. The Holy Spirit will begin to help you pray effectively. The Holy Spirit will help you forgive people. You know, forgiveness is such an important thing because we all offend somebody sometimes. Sometimes we say things and do things that are wrong. Sometimes people offend us. And if we're going to walk in unity, we have to forgive one another. People who walk in the love of Jesus are people who forgive. Jesus said, love your enemies. How can you love your enemies if you don't forgive them? Peter said, how many times in a day do I have to forgive somebody? Seven times? No, Jesus said, 70 times seven times. 490 times a day you have to forgive somebody. That means you always forgive, always forgive, always forgive. Because the love of God is in you to forgive. Now, I've told this story before. I had knew a man that was in my Bible school in Kitale. He was a pastor, and he had harvested his corn. And he had made it in bundles in his field, but left the corn and stalk to dry in the field. And then one night, some people came into his field, and they stole all his corn. And he found out who had done it. He came to me and said, Pastor Clark, I know who stole the corn in my field. What should I do? If I report them, then maybe they're going to get in big trouble. What should I do? And I said, well, what you need to do is you need to go buy a bag of corn, and you need to go to the person's house, and you need to say, I know that you stole my corn. And he said, you must have stolen my corn because you were in need. So I forgive you, and I'm no more than forgive you. I'm going to give you this bag of corn. So he gave a bag of corn to the thieves who had stolen his corn. And the person who had stolen the corn, he said, forgive me, Pastor. And he said, I want to accept Jesus as my Savior. And his whole family accepted Jesus as Savior. Then everybody in the village began to talk about how this pastor forgave this thief who stole his corn. And then revival, people started coming to church to hear the pastor, and the church grew. Why? Because the pastor, instead of bringing judgment, he brought the love of God. He brought forgiveness. And forgiveness brought community transformation. See, it begins with us. We can't expect the world to walk like Jesus. We have to walk like Jesus. When we walk like Jesus, then we exemplify Jesus to the world, and the world is changed by the love and power of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, those who believe in me will do the works I do, and even greater works will they do, because I go to my Father. And when he went to his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. I just praying for you today. If you are not a believer today, I want to tell you that Jesus loves you. Jesus cares about you. Jesus wants to help you in your life if you'll just give your life to him. Just confess your sin to Jesus. Just accept Jesus into your heart and ask Jesus to help you live the Christian life. Give your life totally to him. I want to encourage every believer in every church and every pastor and every bishop. God wants to bring transformation to the church. God wants to bring transformation to the community. Lord God, I just thank you today that we live in a day where you are pouring out your Spirit upon all flesh. You're going to show forth your glory and power in the earth. And Lord, I just pray for everybody listening to the Voice of Hope today, Lord God. I pray to bring transformation to their lives, transformation to their families, transformation into their communities. Lord, it's only possible by you and by your Holy Spirit. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can always listen to my Voice of Hope messages by going to my website, thevoiceofhopetoday.org, voiceofhopetoday.org. God bless you. Have a good week, and I'll come to you next Sunday on The Voice of Hope. Bye-bye.